To a great extent, Aceh's war had evolved into a contest over who could bargain or shoot his way to control the Aran field's cash flow. One of the contenders was a former New Yorker named Hassan Dutiro, a charismatic Achenese nationalist leader to some, and to others, a quixotic, self-promoting political dabbler prone to hysterics and exaggeration, as one scholar of Dutiro's career put it. Dutiro was a great-grandson of a heroic 19th-century anti-Dutch guerrilla fighter. He grew up in unassuming circumstances in Aceh, migrated to Indonesia's main island of Java to attend law school, and then won a scholarship to the United States in 1950 at the age of 25. He attended Columbia University and later worked in the information department of the Indonesian mission to the United Nations. He made the acquaintance of Edward Lansdale, the Central Intelligence Agency's legendary Cold War Asia hand. Dutiro found himself circulating in the eddies and backwaters of international diplomacy in New York. He absorbed the radical ideas of Marxist-influenced post-colonial liberation movements that spread worldwide during the 1960s, but he also tried to provide for his family through capitalist business ventures back in Indonesia. In 1974, one of Dutiro's companies, Doral Incorporated, bid for a contract to build a pipeline connecting to Mobil's Achenese gas field. The job went instead to the San Francisco-based Bechtel Corporation. Dutiro's opponents later emphasized this commercial setback as a cause of his final radicalization. Dutiro told a different story. Soon after he lost the pipeline bid, he was flying aboard a private jet when its engines died. He promised himself that if he survived, he would lead a revolution for Achenese independence. He had reached late middle age and believed that he had lived long enough, he told an interviewer. His biographer felt that Dutiro was describing a midlife crisis of sorts. He founded the Gerakan Aceh Merdeka, or Free Aceh Movement, known as GAM. His followers snuck into the province from Malaysia and opened their armed struggle in the rainforests and volcanic hills of the rugged Pidi region on October 30, 1976. Dutiro issued a declaration of independence 6 weeks later, drawing on his American education. We, the people of Aceh. His war strategy, he later wrote, was to shut down foreign oil companies, to prevent them from further stealing our oil and gas. GAM leaflets warned Mobil and Bechtel employees to pack and leave this country immediately. Dutiro organized about 300 fighters and managed to make contact with Muammar Gaddafi, the Libyan dictator. He then sought training for his men at Libyan camps. They have Mobil oil, Dutiro reportedly told Gaddafi, so you must support us. Because Mobil employed nearly 3,000 Achenese directly or by contract, it proved risky for GAM to target the company. Job losses would alienate the rebels' base. Abu Jack's extortion demand reflected the murky war that had evolved in reaction to these constraints. Rather than throw Mobil out, GAM sought to milk the corporation's revenues directly and indirectly. Racketeering had become commonplace on both sides of the conflict. The violence was sporadic, but it was often most intense around the sprawling, fenced-in Mobil gas facilities. On the north side of Loksumaway, the town's name meant everything deep, a reference to the swampy terrain in which it sat, stood the factory-size Arun Liquefied Natural Gas LNG plant. On the other side of town lay the gas fields themselves, spread out across tens of square miles, intermingled with inhabited villages. A modern gas well is relatively unobtrusive in comparison to an oil well, a chest-high cylindrical metal structure with no moving parts. Mobil installed these robot-looking creatures in fenced areas with names such as Cluster 1 and Cluster 2.